Welcome to Marathon Talk, the UK's number one running podcast, presented by Martin Yelling and Tom Williams, available for free every Wednesday via iTunes and marathontalk.com. This week's Marathon Talk guest is a snooker legend. Ronnie O'Sullivan is reigning and five-time world snooker champion. He turned pro in 1992 at the age of 16 and won his first UK title in 1993. Known for his rapid playing style, he soon earned the nickname The Rocket. Ronnie's snooker career has had its fair share of ups and downs, but more recently he's been on top form. A complex character on and off the table, Ronnie has recently said that running has been the making and saving of him. He's quite a rocket with his running too. Ronnie regularly runs around Epping Forest. He's a member of the Woodford Green and Essex Ladies Athletics Club, and he has a pretty impressive 10k PB of 34.54, although he has yet to run a marathon. Welcome to Marathon Talk, Ronnie.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, it's great to have you here with us on the show. And I read on Twitter this morning that actually you enjoyed a run around the forest this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, I was up this morning and I've done some hills this morning. I shouldn't have really done it because I've got a race. Well, I'm meant to be racing tomorrow, but I thought chances of me racing tomorrow, I might not, because obviously I've got snooker as well. So I thought I'll get the session done this morning.
So what session did you do in the forest?
Yeah, we just did like a little warm up of about a mile and a half. And then I've done this hill. I used to do hills with Eamon Martin on a Monday night.
Yeah.
With his group in Basildon. And we used to do a hill where we used to run it up it six times for a minute and jog back down, and then we'd run up the same hill six times for 30 seconds, and then we'd jog back down, and then we'd do the same hill again six times for 45 seconds. And I used to do that every Monday, and I went over and tried to do the session that we used to do, and I managed to do five long ones, five short ones, and two middle, like 2 45 seconds. I just didn't have it in me because I'm not as fit as I used to be.
Didn't quite have the energy today.
Well, I had the energy. I just didn't have the stamina and endurance that I had like about 3 years ago when I was really running a lot. So I haven't really run much for the last 3 years. I've been running, but not like racing and, you know, getting down the track and, you know, and training with a group. You know, I haven't done any group training for like 3 years. So
when did it all start for you then? Because running, I mean, obviously we know you as a snooker player and as a runner, we know that you've dipped in and done bits and pieces, but have you always run? Is it a relatively new thing? How did it come about that you found out you loved to run?
Well, I've never done anything fit in my life, really. I played football on a Saturday when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't interested in running around. I didn't really do much. My dad used to make me do like a 2 or 3 mile run every morning when I left school at 15. He said, because if you're going to leave school now, you're not just going to leave school and, you know, go down the club and play the fruit machines. And he said, you're going to have to become like a proper professional sportsman. So the deal was that I left school on the basis that I'd done a 3 mile run in the morning and then done my 5-6 hours practice straight after.
He actually said that to you because that's brilliant.
He said that to me. He said, you're not just going to leave school. He said, there's a deal that you can have. He said, it's up to you whether you want to take it. He said, if you want to leave school. I said, yeah, definitely. He said, but these are the terms and conditions. And I said, yeah, well, I'll have that. Because all I wanted to do was play snooker. But the running was, I think, was my dad just trying to just educate me, to show me what fitness could do. Because he was from a sporting family, the Fighting O'Sullivans. And my granddad and his two brothers were kind of professional fighters. So all his family had been into keep fit and boxing training, whatever. So my dad was just trying to basically drum it into me that keep fit was a good thing.
So you ran as a kid, and then early in your career, did you keep it up for a little bit in your early playing days, or
no,
did it come and go?
I mean, I run, since my dad went away, which was 16, I never basically run again for another four or five years. I just didn't have the interest to do it, really. So I didn't get lazy, I just kind of just couldn't be bothered to do it. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. But then obviously I got into, you know, some bad habits. I started to put on weight, and then I thought I've got to do something about this. So I started running. I remember I finished the 1996 World Championships, and I was about 16 stone. I was about 36 inch waist trousers. And then for 3 months, I'd lost my driving license. And then for 3 months, I thought, well, I've got no car. I've got 3 months, 4 months, no snooker competition. So this is a good chance for me to get fit and train. So I started training like 3 times a day. I'd do like a 6-mile run in the morning, very slowly. And then I'd do like a circuit class at the gym in the afternoon. And then I'd do another circuit class in the evening. And I managed to lose about 3.5 stone and my diet as well.
Quite quickly.
Yeah, well, it was quite quickly, but I was training like 3 times a day, every day for 3 or 4 months. And my diet was like fantastic. My mum was cooking me fish, salad, bass. And it took about 2 months before I actually looked in the mirror and I was like, I didn't recognise that person in the mirror. You know, it just one day it kind of all fell into place. And that's what makes me realise it takes time for your body to adapt and change. But once it changes, it's a sudden sort of thing. You don't see it happening gradually. It's like a wow, you know. So that kind of got me into Keep Fit again. But that was just my own Keep Fit thing, really. I wasn't involved in running at all. I didn't know about races. I didn't know about the running club and stuff like that. So that was just to try and lose some weight because I got a bit out of hand with the eating and drinking and stuff like that.
A lot of people do that with their running. They use it to help them manage, you know, other areas in their life and vice versa. I guess, you know, quite a lot of what you've just said, I've seen it in the past with you talking about this addictive personality and the way you're throwing things, you know, you throw everything at something. And it's almost like, you know, you did that with that first go at running. Like, I'm just going to go for it and do it as hard as I can for a few months.
Yeah, that's kind of been my attitude to most things, but I'm not saying it's a good attitude to have. Sometimes you can possibly run yourself into the ground. You can, you know, you can have unhealthy beliefs. And I think over the last 2 years, I've managed to not be so hard on myself with the help of Dr. Steve Peters, who's really helped me make healthier choices in my mind, you know, about how I view snooker, how I view my running, how I view my life, how I manage my emotions, really. And like even today, I have to do these hills, 6, 6, and 6. I thought, I've got to do it. And then as I was doing it, I was thinking, it's crazy, really, to push myself that hard because I've got to go and play snooker then for 4 hours afterwards. And the chances are I'm not going to feel like it. I'm going to feel tired. And that was just me just putting a brake. And I thought, no, I'm not going to kill myself today. I'm just going to do what I can, work hard, but within myself, because obviously I've got to go and play snooker. So I didn't push myself as hard as I could because I had my snooker. But in the past, I used to kill myself, even though I knew I could play snooker. Yeah. And that was stupid, really. But it was just, that was the only way I knew how, which was, you know, 100 mile an hour, everything. But now I'm a little bit more wiser with how I approach things. You know, I give myself time rather than want something instant. You know, I look at the bigger picture a lot more. And that includes my running, that includes my snooker, and includes everything else I do. You know, I don't just go 100 mile an hour. I still do it, I can stop myself and be a bit more sensible.
You listen to the, you know, those voices a bit more closely, you know. I know that you've worked with Steve Peters quite a little bit on that, and of course his background in with some of the cyclists early on and turning people's psychology around in sport has been pretty impressive. One of the things that I was thinking about, I actually watch snooker and I think to myself, how do people not lose it there?
They do.
Well, we see examples of people. You control that internal, or some people control that internal dialogue that we all have with ourselves much better than others, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but I can obviously speak for myself. And there's lots of times where I've won tournaments, including world championships, and I just thought, ugh, I didn't enjoy one bit of that. You know, I was fighting myself inside. You know, I was like, a lot of the time I just wanted to give up, give in, you know, I wanted to be anywhere but in the Crucible Theatre. And for me, that was quite sad in a way that I'd win a world title, but yet I didn't enjoy it. And everybody else would be saying, oh, you know, fantastic. And I think, well, no, it's not fantastic. I really didn't enjoy that. So I kind of wasn't getting any fulfillment because I wasn't enjoying the process, you know. And I think the art of succeeding in whatever you do is enjoying the process. And sometimes, I mean, like the last two world titles I've won, it was the complete opposite. I was actually quite gutted it was over. I won it. I enjoyed every minute of it, even the points where it weren't so good. because I had that confidence that I was able to work through it and it would come good in the end. So I enjoyed the process much better these last 2 years. And as a consequence, these last two world titles have meant more to me than the previous three, because the previous three just felt like, you know, I won it off of instinct or I won it out of destiny. I don't really know how to put it. But the last 2 years, I definitely controlled how my thought process was. And even then, you're only working with probabilities. It wasn't a guarantee that I was going to win the world title this year or the year before, but the probabilities were higher because I was mentally much more present, much more able to deal with the downs. And then obviously the game takes care of itself. You know, you're still not guaranteed to win, but you give yourself a better chance.
Do you think that your running has helped your game in that way?
To be honest with you, I think running...
Like in the last couple of years?
There's two ways to look at that, really. Because when I first started running, which was about 2004, which was properly, it really helped my snooker, because I'd have a crap day at snooker. I'd go for a run afterwards and I'd feel fantastic. But then I was repeating that every day because I played not great snooker most days. You know, my form wasn't great. Although I was winning, I knew I wasn't playing to the potential that I could. So I'd come home and my mind would be going around like a washing machine, thinking about why am I not playing well? But a run would cure it. Running was brilliant in the early days because it made me able to deal with the snooker demons, if you like, or the snooker depression, as I call it. But since working with Steve Peters, I've kind of got to the point where I don't need running to kind of deal with the snooker anymore. But I still like to run at a higher level. So in the early days, running helped me because it kept me playing snooker, because there was a good chance I might have given up because I wouldn't have been able to take the mental stress that I was going through. So running kept me playing snooker in the early days. But now I'm in the right frame of mind, running actually gets in the way, because like this morning, I run too hard and I put running before snooker. And really, I should put snooker before running, but I can't. You know, running is something that I love to do. I don't get paid for it. I'm out in the fresh air. I'm out in the forest. It's far removed from the hectic world that we live in. So, one of the important things to me is that I run. So, actually, running gets in the way of snooker now. But in the past, it helped me carry on playing. So, you know, and it's hard to find that balance where you run 2 or 3 miles and think, oh, that's enough, when you've actually used to put in the 6, 7, 8, 9 milers. Because you know that to be a decent long-distance runner, you've got to put the long, hard stuff in. Unless you're a real natural talent, like some people are, but I'm not at running. I have to work at it, you know, and I like the feeling of running well, so I need to put the work in. But then again, that gets in the way of the snooker. So
I guess more and harder running doesn't necessarily create a better runner. You know, probably like if you're having a bad day in practice at practicing snooker and you know it's just not flowing, what do you push on, kind of head down and crack on, or do you keep trying to play the shots? I don't know, what do you do? Because in running you would say to somebody, you need to back off, you need to, you know, you need to do less, exactly as you'd have done today, you know, on that session.
I mean, with snooker it's kind of I look at it like I take the same approach as people do with running. I do it in blocks, so I'll put the groundwork in. Say a month before the season starts or a month before a big tournament starts. And then the week before the tournament, I won't really play much. I'll just relax. I play maybe half an hour a day and I'll just back off. So when I get to the tournament, I want to play, you know, and I've not left all my best practice on the practice table. So with snooker, I just have to put the hours in. And then once I've put the hours in, I know that come tournament, as long as I'm fresh, my game will either be there or it won't be there, but I'll be in as good a shape as I can be.
It's kind of like tapering then.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of used another thing the running helped me with is that I kind of heard people say, you know, tapering before a race. And I thought, oh, maybe I should try that with snooker. So in a way, I kind of learned how to taper at snooker through my running, because I'd get to tournaments sometimes and I'd be knackered. I think, I don't even want to play. Yeah. So I thought, if I play less, then hopefully I'll be like a greyhound at the track wanting to play. And I thought a lot of my problems was just being maybe burnt out mentally. So I thought if I could stay fresh then that maybe my ability in my game will just carry me through. You know, it might do me better.
You can listen to the full interview via marathontalk.com or by downloading episode 199 and 200 on iTunes.